watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of Woe.
Whoa, shit. Marcy almost died last time.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of last time, we had a little Sunday afternoon shenanigans. Cyril got off to the family reunion photo shoot, which went well overall. He made
$1 million.
Hefty chunk of change. It was $1 million.
Yep.
Yep.
That's my rate.
That's $1 million per shoot.
$1 million, one rate.
And then Joel got a little heart-to-heart with Kian. Got a little time to chit-chat with him as they watched TV and ate chicken and waffles. And then Marcy got a little heart-to-heart with her uncle, Barnabas. And got a little raw and a little real. Barnabas revealed the thing that he had been keeping secret from Marcy since the beginning of this campaign, and she kept failing to try and like figure out what was going on. So he finally just came out with it as they begin bearing their souls to each other. But then we had a fun little time where Joel was watching TV and kind of saw someone that he thought he knew but couldn't. It was just in the background, went really quick. And then Marcy saw someone that she did know knocking on her door, pretending to be a UPS delivery man, shooting through her door and striking her for a little bit of damage. She called Detective Marr and the guy broke into her house. They had a little back and forth. Eventually, he decided to make a break for it and he ran away, after which Detective Marr came and visited Marcy and offered the use of his house as a place to sleep over, finally getting into the real plot that I just wanted you all to have a sleepover at Detective Marr's house.
It's definitely feeling that way.
Listen.
All you had to do was ask, Dan. We would have gladly done it.
I really did ask, though, just a couple episodes ago, I did ask if you wanted.
You did. That's true. Yeah. Yeah,
but the goofy thing is, if I'm not mistaken, you put that at the end of the ep. It wasn't even in the proper ep. So
I think I did put that at the end of the ep because it was kind of silly. But
no,
I might have left. I think I left his invitation in, and then some of our banter post invitation. I think I
said. I'm 75% sure you did not. But
yeah, well, listen. Who knows at this point? That's, you know what? That's in the past. And I am not beholden to anything that happened in the past, but let's go to the future, or as I like to call it, the present now that we're here. Speaking of present, so Marcy, as you were riding, presumably shotgun in the car with Detective Marr nice. Back to his home, he says, it was one of the guys from the Riverbend's Blues Lounge. Do you know which one it was? Was it one of the ones that you saw on Facebook?
I can probably, if we go back to Cyril's house, I think I still have the board set up. I could probably identify him, unless Cyril's taken it down, which would be, I mean, fair, it's his house. He probably doesn't want all that up, but God.
He makes a phone call and puts it on speaker, and Cyril, you get a phone call from Detective Marr.
Oh, Detective Marr, how can I help you today?
Hey, Cyril, I'm swinging by your place with Marcy. Someone tried to break into her house.
Oh.
Someone successfully broke into her house and shot her.
Oh, my.
She thinks that she might be able to ID the guy based off the work that y'all had done researching in your apartment, so I'm coming by.
Okay. I appreciate the notification. I will let y'all in.
And just a couple months later, he swings back by because... I think we've talked before about where Marcy and Cyril live, and it's relatively downtown, so
yeah,
probably fairly close to each other.
Cyril lives downtown for sure.
Yeah. I think Cyril probably lives like over here, right? I'm pointing to an area in the map, which is in the northeast corner of town.
Yeah, he lives above his studio, so in like a building, yeah.
So maybe one of the ones over here, but somewhere like basically along the main drag. And so you were able to quickly have Detective Marr come by, and he walks, you know, he's being extra like, you know, Marcy, put your arm around me, even though you did take 3 points of damage. What's your total hit points?
I'm currently at 9 out of 12.
So I mean... You know, one quarter of your hit points. I don't know how that translates into, you know, walking around type of action, but
that sounds like a good through and through.
Probably uncomfortable. Yeah, it's uncomfortable, but he has managed to staunch the bleeding. But he still is being like extra, you know, careful with you. And he's like, I should have insisted you guys stay at my house. It's so stupid. I've just been making.
It's stupid on my fault, too. As soon as I recognized the person, I should have immediately ducked behind, like, my fridge or something. I don't know why I thought that, like, I could just sneak away from the door.
All right. And y'all ring Cyril's doorbell. I don't know if, you know, if it's a side entrance or, like, through the studio that you have to go.
Well, I like to think that there's, like, an entrance to the studio, like a formal entrance, and then, like, right next to it is, like, a little walk-up.
Okay. Yeah, so they bring the walk up.
Yeah, and he like buzzes you up.
Head on up, and he's like, okay, Marcy, can you figure out who this was?
Yeah, Cyril, do you still have the cork board still up?
Of course I do. It's right here. And he rolls it out.
Can I identify the person? With that critical success I got last episode...
You can. With that critical success, and I believe with y'all having identified the guy before, this was Tony Black. I think I mentioned him by name in one of these episodes. And if I didn't, well, that's in the past. So
you're not beholden to
you're
it.
You're not beholden to it.
Who knows? I'm not beholden to anything that happened in the past.
Tell that to the government.
But I have, well, I did just do my taxes, so I am no longer beholden to that.
There you go.
Sorry, legally, that is a joke, IRS. IRS, please, it's a joke.
Funny Bill,
my dog.
Oh, my dog, they take your dog. This dog's worth 50 bucks.
All right, well, yeah, you find out this is Tony Black. I think you even maybe saw him on Facebook. He's a chef. Looks like he's sort of like maybe a senior chef over at the Riverbend Blues Lounge.
Like he's an old man?
No, just like he's like a sous chef.
Yeah, okay.
I got shot at by a sous. They couldn't even send like someone higher. They sent a sous chef at me.
They sent the sous chef. They didn't even send a pastry chef at you.
I'm gonna call in a favor with Galomas.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. This is Noah out of context. Okay.
Like a Dan's like, okay, here we go.
I'm gonna try to convince a ghoul to kill a man for me.
Glomus officially is now contactable via cell phone, assuming he has signal, which is not a guarantee, but
he's got a jitterbug.
If you.
Yeah, it is literally the cheapest phone possible.
Yeah,
he's got a jitterbug.
It's enough for him to be in a group text if you want him to be. He will respond in only emojis.
That's hilarious to me that there's a group text with a ghoul.
Oh boy. Well, if you think that's funny, Noah, this it's gonna get even funnier this season. this season, I have so many things in mind that we are just
ghouls and vampires.
We are just. I don't know if you guys can tell. We're in the second arc, and I don't know if you guys have figured out any of the themes or sort of the ideas behind this arc, but we'll see what you guys figure out.
We got to get Bill Blank in the group chat at some point.
Those fucking crickets, yeah.
I'd be curious now that you guys are I don't know if you are roping Joel in at this point to let him know what happened, but as Marcy and Cyril and Detective Marr are looking through some of these, you know, corkboard type things and Facebook profiles and IDing Tony Black, I don't know, what do you want to do with that?
I think she will quickly shoot out a text to Joel with her good arm. Yeah, no, she's not going to code it at all. She just got shot up by someone from the, what is it, River Bend Blues? So RBBL?
Yep.
Shorthand. And at Cyril's with Mar and Cyril.
After about 10 minutes, you hear the most obnoxious sounding engine.
100%.
He's, as the cool kids would say, blasting trumpets.
The cool kids don't say that.
That is actually what Z owners say, because it sounds so fucking awful.
Oh god.
But yeah, then he will rush up to the top floor and just like open the door without knocking and be like, is everyone okay?
Cyril shoots him.
Yeah, Detective Marr pulls his gun and shoots you.
That's a nice choice. Owie.
Just both of you emptying your magazines. ow.
Yeah. And then he starts falling down the steps.
Ooh, it stings. Oof.
We have a Hot Rod-esque scene.
I'm fucking crying.
Squeaky toys. The whole way down.
All right. So seriously, is Joel gets there. Detective Mars, like, so I think I'm actually going to have to insist on everyone staying at my house for your own safety. This guy got away. Marcy, did you see, I mean, what kind of car he was driving, what he was dressed, how he was dressed, anything like that?
No, I stayed inside I slammed the door as soon as he booked it. I did not want to chance him getting a shot back on me. I fucked up. I need to just start, I guess, keeping a loaded gun at my bedside or somewhere near hand. Because when I went to go shoot him, the gun was fucking empty.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, yeah. You gotta carry hot.
Yeah.
And he quickly makes a call. And it's, you know, based off the description that he's seeing in the Facebook profile, he puts out an APB for this guy, asking the other cops, you know, to keep an eye out for any suspicious vehicles, speeding, anything like that, because this guy just fired and you know, he's armed and dangerous, so y'all have that going. He says, okay, yeah, actually, everyone want to pile into my vehicle? I guess Joel, your vehicle is kind of
cool.
Well, both given that it is a unique vehicle and given that you have bullet holes in the windshield, I think you should leave it here or maybe run back to your place and I can follow you and drive you, because I don't think that your vehicle should be at my place.
You want me to leave my baby alone where people are trying to hurt us?
I don't want them to know that you are at my house.
Okay, fair. We have a problem, though.
Okay.
We can't leave Kian at my place, too.
Yeah, that's true. Or we could leave your car here. Well, I guess if they might know where you live. Okay, yeah, I mean, tell Kian to pack a bag.
What do we tell him?
Tell him you're in danger because of your ghost hunting. I don't know.
Well, he looks at Marcy and Cyril. What do?
Well, I mean, we can
He looks at you. He looks at you. He's like, you know, I know Kian, right? I could throw my weight around with the badge.
Yeah, yes, fair. And I'm love him to death, but he's not that bright.
Maybe just ask Kian. He seems kind of down for whatever.
Yeah. But we're not leaving my car here. We're not leaving my car at my place either. I'm going to take it back to Florizon. No one goes there. It'll be safe under our friend.
Are you really going to give your car to Glomus?
No, I'm not going to give it to him.
We cut to Glomus joyriding in the car.
Blasting. Yeah. In his ghoul form going 160 down a highway.
In ghoul form.
It's just the scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but with Glomus fully. And, you know, the ghouls in Delta Green have this dog-like face, so I just imagine him sticking his head out the window with his tongue lagging out.
Yep, that's funny.
Freebird play.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, you know, someday when HBO picks up City of Woe and we get a big budget production, I'm really looking forward to that scene.
That's happening for sure. Yeah.
For the HBO adaptation.
Amazing. That's absolutely happening. I'm speaking that into the universe. Hey, listen, I saw what they did with the last season of True Detective. They'll make anything.
You know what? I hate it, but he's right.
I'm going to go ahead and cut to Joel has gone to Florizon Manor. Detective Marr has dropped off Marcy and Cyril. He goes in, talks to his wife, explains that he is housing people for their safety. She begins making up a couple of their extra bedrooms. And then he drives out to Florizon Manor to go pick up Joel, then take Joel back to his house to pick up Kian and take Kian back to his house. It's a little bit like the fox chicken or fox goat flour problem.
Chicken grain fox problem.
Classic.
Literally what I was thinking too.
If you leave Kian alone with Joel, Kian and Joel will get high.
Oh my god.
And a fist fight will ensue over the last pop card. I said you have it, smack.
You eat it. I saved it for you for like 3 days. All right. So Sunday night, we are all in Detective Marr's house, and he is sitting at his kitchen table. He is writing in his notebook some notes, and he is chatting with his wife as he has sort of asked everyone to stay in the room as he gives a long and detailed, completely plausible explanation for why he would need to house four extra people in his home to his wife. There is a terse back and forth as people listen through the door, but ultimately he comes to see y'all and says, okay, all right, I think we've got this all cleared. He's got some air mattresses in there along with a couple twin beds. He's like, probably shouldn't need to be, I don't think, only a few nights, right? Like, they tried once. Odds are, my bet is they just wanted to send a message. The guy didn't stick around and try and kill Marcy, so probably just trying to send a message. He looks at Kian. He's like, hey, Kian, my wife needed some help with something. Could you go spend, like, 30 minutes with her? And if she doesn't give you anything to do, just clean my kitchen. And Kian's like, yeah, of course, officer. Totally cool. Thanks, Kian. All right. He closes the door as he leaves. It's like, okay, all right.
Joel looks down at one of the air mattresses. So which one of these is for you again?
I'm not sleeping in here.
Are you sure? That spat sounded like not the case.
Listen, she is a police officer's wife. My wife is great. I love her very much. She understands. She may not like it. She does understand it from time to time. Listen, it's not going to be nice. And I might be in hot water with her and at the station. But, you know, I could if I just lock down everything tighter, it's all going to work out. If I just grip a little harder, everything's gonna work. If I just
Sure. Hold on loosely.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Marcy.
What's for breakfast?
He pulls out his gun and shoots you.
bullets. Just one right to the jaw. Turns to Joel and Cyril. All right, so how are we going to deal with this?
Oh, fuck. I just shot Marcy in the face.
I can see this in like Gmod Maker 2 or like a TF2 animations. Oh, God.
Okay. Any real questions?
Any non-stupid questions?
Should Kian and I skip work? Should we all skip work?
I mean, I brought my laptop. I'm good.
I'm good for a day or so.
I don't know. I don't know if you should skip work. Again, you're probably okay, but I would rather you all be here for at least tonight, maybe tomorrow night. Let's see. There are some weird things going on around town, so you know that it's there was a robbery today, just a little, you know, store got a little smash and grab, so that was before the store opened this morning. Just the gas station, which, you know, I'm not saying smash and grabs have never happened in Carrefour, but they don't happen often, so that was notable.
Also, Detective Marr, some people tried to attack my uncle's how do I put this? His little bunker.
Fallout shelter?
Oh, okay, that's not good. When did that happen?
I don't know. I kind of trauma dumped on him and about, because I thought he was insinuating that like what attacked Antoine was going towards him, and then he mentioned flashlights, and I was like, I fucked up. But yeah, people are going around checking stuff out. They were on his property. I don't know what happened. He broke his arm, apparently, but he fought them off.
Okay, that's not good. But that'll be... And he pulls out his notepad and he writes something down. And he's like, okay.
It just says, I hate Marcy. I hate Marcy.
There are a lot of things happening, but I will be honest with y'all.
We dealt with a possessed kid.
Yeah. Okay, what?
Oh, yeah, that happened. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in here and he pulls out the Organite.
Not the kid, the possessed thing.
Yeah, we called Glomus in on that one, so we got it taken care of. But, like, whatever it was able to, like, reveal Glomus for a second.
There's some fucked shit going on, Virgil.
He looks around and he's like, I have nowhere I can yell. Okay, all right.
There's no more voids to scream in.
He just looks at you. He looks at Joel and he's like, okay, anything else you guys need to tell me?
I'm trying to learn magic.
Oh, Waffalo's says they're closing next week.
Yes, I know Waffalo's is closing. They're moving locations.
Oh, shit. They didn't tell me that. All right. He pumps his fist.
I like how Marcy's like, I'm trying to learn magic. Like, you're learning, like, close-up magic.
Like, Joel knows how to scry. Marcy's like, what's that behind your ear?
I can steal your watch from your hand. What skill would that be, Dan? Just for my sake.
I'm learning to play bridge.
Learning to play bridge. Oh my god.
I don't know. That might be like a...
I would say that's art. That'd be an art roll.
It could be an art. It could be a disguise, maybe. It
looks at my 0% in art. Okay, understood. Never mind. Disregard.
We know it's not science.
It's a science, yeah.
Well, any sufficiently advanced would be.
Stop.
I'm just saying. Anyway. Moving on.
He's like, Dan.
Sean D performing esoteric close-up magic.
All right. He pulls out his thing and he's like, all of this is bizarre, okay? But also, based off everything we've been dealing with, I've really been trying to investigate the police chief's motives for announcing Chelsea Wynn as under arrest for the murder of Antoine when we had no evidence. So I filed a formal complaint against him, and I am embroiled in some IA stuff, internal affairs, in case you guys didn't know, which means that I have like a major target on my back at the station. And needless to say, it's been bad.
Is there anything we can do to help with that?
But he's like, yeah, actually, if you could investigate the chief, find out if he's, I don't know, possessed by a ghost or just possessed by, like, I don't know, political backhandedness. It makes no sense. It's driving me crazy. And I found out that the mayor wasn't even asking him to do it.
Oh.
What if he's working with the guys at the Riverbend Blues Lounge?
Well, I always thought the chief was a good guy. And then a couple weeks ago, ever since the Antoine thing, he's just been kind of acting different.
Huh.
Virgil, Joel pulls out his phone. What's your Wi-Fi password? I'm out of data. And he will, after hopefully getting the Wi-Fi password, he'll look up the sheriff and see if he has any connections on social media to anyone we saw from the Riverbend Blues on Facebook as well.
The sheriff definitely has the chief. Was it the sheriff or the chief of police?
Sorry, the chief. Yeah, the chief.
Yeah, the chief does not have, he's got a Facebook page, but it looks like he just created it. Does not appear that he has any, like, if you go research a little bit of his bio, he did grow up in New Orleans, but that's about it.
Well, I don't want that. What'd you say the guy was wearing again, Marcy?
He looked like he was wearing a UPS uniform. But he was the guy who, like, dropped the thing from the soup when Cyril charged in.
It was Soup Boy that shot at you?
Yeah, it was fucking Soup Boy.
Fuck.
That little twink.
What? Okay. What?
What? Hold on a second.
I don't think I've ever given a physical description of him, but in my mind, he looked like Kevin from The Office.
That's what I thought too.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
It was a purposeful homage to one of my favorite scenes from The Office, which is
even funnier if Joel calls him a twink when he looks like that.
I'll admit that is very, very funny.
Joel has no idea what a twink looks like.
Yeah, no idea what it is.
Yeah, he thinks it's a, it means like Twinkies.
The guy who really enjoys Twinkies.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm going to ask you straight up. Who do you want to know more about right now? Do we want to look more into Chief, or do we want to look more into UPS Boy?
Well, I think we need to investigate the Chief for sure. We still haven't figured out all that's happening with the mayor. And if he's embroiled in this and somehow, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, he still hasn't paid us.
No, he has not.
And he hasn't really revealed a whole lot to us about who and what and where and who's looking at his property. I mean, now that we've figured out Floors on Mana, he's done shit for us, right? So I think that's our next lead here. As much as I would love to strap up and go back to the Riverbed Blues Lounge and talk to them once again, I don't think that's going to happen. Right, Detective Ma?
True, actually.
I don't know. Based off what I know about the mayor, I don't know of any sketchy things that the mayor's doing, right? I don't know what he asked you. I don't know why he asked you to initially, but I'm presuming it was all technically above board. But I mean,
it was a case of like people were coming in to secure the land for something. At the time, I thought it was just like the land was about to be developed and bought up from underneath his family. But then,
you mean like eminent domain?
I think, I don't know.
They would go, you know, unless they do eminent domain on you, they can't just come take your land like that. That's not how that works, especially if you're all paid up and everything. So, like,
I didn't really think about it at the time, but yeah, that is strange.
Well, eminent domain is, I mean, I'll tell you this, you know, Louisiana, it's happened before.
Sure, like if you're building a highway or something, right? But
no, it doesn't have to be a highway. It could be anything that's deemed for the benefit of the community. Yeah.
Yeah. But he made it sound like these were people who were like prospecting on his land, like wanting it to develop like a strip mall or something like that. It wasn't like the Louisiana government was coming out here to, like, you know, put up a park and recreation department.
Okay. Well, I mean, it might be worth digging into that more.
Definitely didn't sound official in any capacity, or at least not governmental.
And just the way he wanted us to prove the whole thing was fishy from the beginning. He wanted us to fake a haunting to prove that it was something that it wasn't. And like, he couldn't figure out how to do that through the government. Like,
yeah,
it was weird.
I'm sure he had good reasons.
Stop. What I was trying to ask is, I think I can figure out where one of them is at right now. Would that help us?
Detective Marr looks at you and he's like, yes.
Perfect. Do you have someplace nice and quiet I can spend 20 minutes in?
You could go to my office, sure.
Perfect.
I thought for sure he was going to suggest, like, go to the bathroom, and it just cuts to
Joel on the toilet.
Joel taking a shit. Taking a shit.
And then someone, like, knocking. Are you done in there?
Just a minute.
All right. Okay, Joel, you are in his office, and he is like, do you need me to close the door, or can I be here? Or
yeah, keep people out as much as possible. Do you have, like, a mirror or something I can borrow? Just something reflective.
Hang on. He goes and gets his wife's makeup kit and pulls out a compact. He's like, will this do?
Probably.
Oh, she's not going to be annoyed at that at all.
He's like, please make sure that you give this back to me. Tensions are mollified, but they will flare up again.
I don't think it's going to blow up or anything, so give me half an hour.
Okay, all right, sure. Let's go ahead. And who are you trying to scry on?
He will try to scry on, what was the name of the UPS, fake UPS guy? Not Chili Boy?
Tony Black.
Tony Black. He will, on his phone, he'll pull up the profile of Tony Black. So he has his name, he has what he looks like, he has as much information that he can draw on as necessary. And he will sit just like he meditates. He'll sit nice, straight back against the chair, and will just clear his mind and focus into the compact.
All right, go ahead. And this is going to be really, really fun. I'm so excited to see how this roll goes. Go ahead and make a power roll.
All right. 27 under 70.
Oh man. Okay, so oh, you guys are gonna hate me for this. You are staring into the compact. You get that nice sort of relaxed body posture, the focus, the clear mind, the sort of, you know, not looking at the mirror, looking through the mirror, that similar feeling as you control the pace of your breath and think about Tony Black. All of, you know, what physically, what he looks like, who he is, all of this stuff that you know about him. And after just maybe like 3 or 4 minutes, as you get into this sort of breathing, calm breathing rhythm where you have fully relaxed into this posture, you begin to see the mirror start to change slightly. It goes somewhat clear, and as you are gazing through the mirror, you see the face of Tony Black. And as he walks, you sort of step out and you see him step into the back of the back door of the Riverbend Blues Lounge, where you know he has been.
Is he dressed like a UPS driver?
He's not, no.
What the fuck?
He's dressed in an executive chef looking, you know, white doublet, black pants, non-slip black shoes. No gun on him.
And it's not been that much time. It's been, what, maybe 30 minutes?
Yeah, well, I mean, you did go out to Florizon Manor. I mean, it's been maybe, you're close to an hour and a half. Hour 45. I mean, that would be pushing it, right?
That's not enough.
It doesn't. You don't think it would be enough? I mean, he would have had to do like 90 the whole way back. The odds that he didn't get pulled over driving 90 on, you know, on I-10 on a Sunday night. I mean, cops love pulling people over on I-10.
Marcy did fail every attempt to attack him, so he would have like no injuries aside from like the legs, maybe.
Yeah, he's not walking with the limp.
Okay, Joel will look at it and then he'll slowly, over the course of like a minute, pull himself out, and he will just utter confusion. He will attempt again, but this time he's going to think more upon the guy that we shot. Fuck, hang on. What is that guy's name?
Marcus Johnson.
He will focus on Marcus Johnson. Try it one more time.
Oh, this is great. Okay, go ahead and make a power roll.
49 under 70.
All right. So again, it's a similar thing as the mirror has gone back to a mirror, and you are beginning to refocus. After just a couple minutes this time, the mirror seems to go almost clear, as if it's become now a screen for you to look through. And you're like thinking about Marcus Johnson. Remember, he had a bald head and a goatee. He's kind of a jacked looking dude. But the face that you're looking at looks, I mean, it looks so much like Tony Black. It's really weird. And he's in a,
you son of a bitch.
He's driving in a car. And he seems to be going pretty fast. And he looks harried. And he's, I mean, weirdly enough, he's in a brown UPS uniform.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Joel will snap out of that one real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and make a sand check.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? Honestly, that's fair.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, critical pass. 11 under 51.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. You take no sanity damage. I think there's just a moment where you are beginning to put this together. It's one of those things, you know, Call of Cthulhu. It's like when you pass the Cthulhu mythos, you then have like an intelligence check, right? That you want to fail because you don't want to comprehend these things.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I don't know what Joel's comprehension is, but I imagine there is some confusion as he comes out of this.
Joel comes out of it and he thinks he is Sherlock fucking Holmes. he comes out of it and he saunters out with the most big dick energy possible.
Of course.
Of course.
Oh no.
Pops, he's like thumbing the, like, you know, doing the coin thing with the compact, and he'll pop up right up next to Cyril and Marcy and Virgil, if they're all there, and he says, "I have no fucking clue what I just saw."
What? All of them look at you, and Detective Mars like, "So why do you look happy about that?"
I can tell you right now, it wasn't Tony Black. Tony Black is currently cutting up chives for a soup.
Marcy leans to Detective Mar. Now, he did recently just start learning magic. So, Marcus, like, there's Johnson. Probably some skill issues going on that I think. Like, he's still new to this.
I need you to shut the fuck up for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
he is. Marcus Johnson looks exactly like Tony Black. He's in a UPS outfit and he is cruising.
When you say he looks like Tony Black, I mean, he didn't look like that when you shot him, right?
He is Tony fucking Black.
Okay.
Marcy's mind just snaps to a moment of like every time Glomus transforms into a person, and it's just like, no.
Yeah, that actually prompts sanity rolls from Detective Marr and Marcy and Cyril.
No.
Okay. Detective Marr passes.
He got shot.
Success for Cyril.
87 over 53.
Jesus, Noah.
Marcy takes one nice little sand loss at that.
I knew we should have killed him.
I knew
walking over his body, trying to do first aid on him, I knew I should have just shot him, put an end to this. Fuck. And he kind of like stomps around the room, like just exasperated by this.
She's fully like staring at a picture of Tony Black. It does not look anywhere close to Marcus, right?
No, not at all.
Like this is not like, oh, he put on like makeup. He did the master disguise bullshit. It's,
oh, now that you look at him, he's actually wearing a turtle outfit.
full turtle outfit.
What?
Turtle.
Wait.
Is he turtly enough for the turtle club?
Wait. Turtle.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, she passes that sand check.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. Marcy's phobia, she thinks everyone's turtles now.
Detective Mar chimes in. He's like, so what does this mean? I mean, did he get a new body? Or
think we're in a magician-on-a-magician showdown now.
Detective Mar looks at you and he's like, he looks over at Marcy and Cyril and he's like, you guys, has he always been like this?
A little bit.
Marcy's just like, her stern face just shaking her head very slowly just so he can see, to like, no.
We're in a magician showdown. That's so good.
Listen, he's got to know something. At minimum, he's gifted.
I mean,
at worst, he's Glomus. Not literally, but
yeah,
like him.
I mean, I did shoot him just a couple of days ago, and he's already up and moving.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
There's a problem there, and if you...
It wasn't a wing either.
No, I mean, I shot him right in the pelvis, almost killed the man. And, yeah, he's up and moving, so that means there's something else going on here.
Okay, well, what are our... I'm saying, what are our next steps? Because I don't think that whatever you guys do should be alone.
We need to somehow wrap up the Riverbend Blues Lounge, because that is going to spiral out of control. And the sooner we... I think the priority should be get money from the mayor. Get that fucking money that we are owed for our bullshit. And how urgent is the chief thing? Because I wonder if we can tie this into the Riverbend Blues Lounge, because if we can, then that'll... tackling one will help the other.
I have no idea how urgent the chief thing is. Internal affairs investigations can drag on forever, but if you guys could find any evidence of him being influenced by a ghost or something, that would be great. Or I don't know.
Okay.
We could also just straight up fabricate it with Glomus. I mean, like, oh, wait, no, he has to eat their heart. Never, sorry, or something, right?
Yep.
Yep. To serve,
he would have to. He, in order to take on his appearance, he would have to eat his heart.
So that just further confirms that this is not a ghoul.
Okay. I think right. Yeah.
Because we have Tony Black, and then we have Tony Black.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't really confirm.
The two ghouls? They go halvesies on the heart?
It doesn't necessarily confirm. I will say that twins exist.
I mean, someone else could eat the heart of Marcus Johnson and look like Marcus Johnson.
That's another thing that could happen. There's a handful of things. You know, I want to say that, like, not all phenomenon are going to be the same, right? In my rich and deep crafted Delta Green world, there are many phenomenon that you might all have a little bit of exposure to some of it, and you're going to have a lot of exposure to more of it as you continue down this path that you are on.
All right, well, let's see if we can tie the chief into Riverbend. I think there's enough. I mean, if Antoine was involved, chances are his brother was involved, chances are the chief's connected somehow through the political scheming. I mean, we can do that. I mean, as much as I would just love to go down and see what's happening down there, it's just odd because now we don't know. I mean, if we've got some sort of doppelganger or something like that coming in, it could be anybody, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. Okay, so tomorrow morning, you guys go get money from the mayor. Maybe put the screws on him, try and get some answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
And then tomorrow afternoon, you guys want to... I'm not saying that you should break into the chief's house, but perhaps you could tail him a little.
Joel gives the most over-exaggerated wink.
We'll magic our way in there.
I don't know that yet. I can just see people.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Joel, if you do magic, could you just, I don't know, magic on the chief?
Right. Do some magic.
I can. Here's the issue, everyone. I have been told, not only through Luna and then Glomis and then this book that I've been reading that Luna gave me, this is really dangerous.
Oh.
Yeah, actually it is.
And as such, I'm gonna keep it real. Think two in one night?
Goddamn.
Full successes?
Oh fuck.
We'll pause it for there. We'll do a little more mundane detective work and we can go the more scry magic eye thing in another date.
Mm.
If we need to.
Okay.
How is Luna?
She seemed to be doing pretty good when I was talking with her.
Hmm. Happy. I owe her dinner.
Detective Margos, you dog.
You dog.
I promised her. She gave me this organat, and he whips it out. And he's like,
whoa, hey.
Yeah. And then he pulls out the organite. And then, yeah. Like, she gave me this, and I owe her dinner. I should go over there and see how she's doing.
Maybe wait till after we figure out whatever's going on is relatively safe.
Yeah, maybe.
Was there any... I'm going to ask this now, I guess. I probably should have asked this before. Was there any distinctive markings that I noticed, like, in the car? Like, did I see, like, a badge or anything like that, like, on a steering wheel?
What kind of car was it? Was it a Jeep?
A journal, How I Killed Antoine Babineau.
I'm not asking like that. I was just
He had his manifesto on his on his rearview mirror.
Yeah, like was it clearly like a smaller cabin vehicle, a larger cabin vehicle?
It would have been a smaller, you know, four seater. You know, the way of the thing is, you don't get a ton of detail around the person, but you get a little bit of context.
Okay. That's fair. I was curious about that. I didn't
like Ivy. You had a little more detail because you have a deep connection with her,
and I've been in that place a lot.
Exactly. And like the Riverbend Blues Lounge, like you recognized it, but had you not just been there, it would have just looked like any other
gray masses.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. I was just okay. That makes sense. Interesting. And Joel will hand the compact back to Virgil. It's a little funny. Helping a cop.
He says, it's not as funny as me helping you. He closes the door. He goes to talk with his wife and make sure that Kian has not, I don't know, begun licking a window or something.
This is how dogs clean it.
Kian's trying to get the kids. Hey, do you like smoke weed?
Yeah, he's good.
Do you all like weed?
So, like, let's be real. I know you're holding.
Yeah, I know you're holding. Your pant legs up.
To a 6-year-old girl.
So, we all go to bed.
Yep. Nice and peaceful night's sleep. Kian does come in just a little bit later and joins on the air mattress. And y'all all sleep peacefully. Make sure that Marcy, you get to heal 1 point automatically overnight.
Yay!
And then one willpower point overnight as well, in case anyone spent that. Tyler, as we get in more into Joel's stuff, we're going to start doing like spending willpower for these things. But I kind of like the POW rolls at first, because that to me represents, you know, him beginning to get a grasp on these things. Whereas later, you know, you'll just spend willpower and you can do stuff, right?
Okay, cool. That's what I was actually curious about, if I had messed up and not marked it. But
no, thank you. I think that is fair enough. And I went ahead and rolled a couple magical mishaps, but luckily you crit passed on one and then passed on the other. So this is just, you know, in case you are exposing yourself to anything a little seedy, uncouth, or you know, undesirable on the astral projection planes. So y'all wake up Monday morning bright and early. Detective Marr's wife, her name is Lauren Marr. She has prepped breakfast for you.
Marcy makes a pointed look at Detective Marr, like
he looks at you and is like, what?
You never told. I thought I asked what was for breakfast, and like, lo and behold.
Yes, my wife makes it's like, you know, eggs and toast and bacon, some coffee and orange juice.
It's better than the $5 she would have spent at McDonald's.
What a lovely breakfast. Is it Lauren?
Lauren, yes. Lauren Marr.
What a love. Thank you, Mrs. Marr, for making us such a wonderful breakfast. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for your hospitality. I know we're crashing at a weird time, but we do appreciate it. I know your husband's job's got to be pretty hectic sometimes. So
that's one way to put it, for sure. As you eat breakfast, you know, I think things seem to go pretty normal, pretty calm overall. Detective Marr heads out to work bright and early. Kian is like, I should probably go to work as well, actually. I can just hoof it. Joel, are you coming to work? Are you guys taking off?
Kian, I don't...
I can cover for you if you want.
That's what's probably for the best. If Sammy has questions, just tell him to give me a shout. But I think with everything going on, it's best if I don't endanger everyone at the shop as well.
It's probably a good call. I don't like being shot at, personally.
Have you been shot at before?
No, but I guess it is an assumption. Maybe I do like being shot at, and I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the scariest thing is if you enjoyed that.
Well, you know, different strokes, right?
Yeah. Sure.
And he walks out the door and begins walking to kind of a big wheel.
God, I fucking hate that guy so much.
It doesn't open for like 2 hours. He's just left at like 7 a.m. It's just like, I don't know how long it'll take me to walk there, so I'm just going to start now.
3 blocks. Sorry about Kian.
Oh, that's quite all right. It's just, well, he did help do the dishes, technically.
Yeah, let me guess, he did 2 of them and then sat there and stared at how the water prunes his hands?
No, he just, he unloaded the dishwasher, but it hadn't actually run yet.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that's... you know what? Honestly, kind of glad that we can't afford an actual dishwasher, because that would happen a lot more than I'd like to admit.
So he's my in real life kid.
He's a nice guy, I suppose. But I'm glad that hopefully y'all don't have to stay here any longer. But of course, if you do need to stay, I'm not going to not let you be in my house and get shot and killed. So. You know, when it comes to that sort of balance, it's one of those things that I just kind of have to deal with.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
I think I'm going to go back to my house and just put a bear trap by the front door and then lock it back.
I don't really want to stay here. I got things to do at my place, but we'll see what your husband has to say. So,
yes, I hope that he gets more information today. Hopefully you guys get more information today from whatever you're doing. He kind of gave him.
That's what we're going to go do. So, yeah.
Y'all can go do that.
Lauren, I'm not going to lie. There's shells all up in these eggs.
Hey, no joke, Mark. I watched that episode yesterday. That is, oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's such a good note to end on too. We will see y'all next time on City of Rome.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is a Delta Green actual play. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. It's my favorite role-playing system. So thank you to those guys, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please make sure that you go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. I know Google Podcasts is wrapping up here soon, so RIP. We are going to start putting these out to YouTube as well, so make sure you go check our check the link in the show notes and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube for when that happens. Every little bit helps, guys. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. Make sure you email us once you've done your review, and if you give us an NPC name, we'll happily incorporate them. We are going to have more characters join us in Care 4. So thank you for listening, and thank you to Pawns or Kings for Cositus. That's our theme song, and let's listen to the rest of it now. We've established that he does not have a phone. Y'all have not given him a burner yet.
Right. We need to get Columbus a burner.
I guess that's one thing we didn't cover last time was Joel driving Columbus back. Yeah, do you want to stop and get a burner for him?
Yeah, I did say that the episode prior, and I definitely meant to, but it has been about 3 weeks IRL for us since the recording of that episode, so